再见这一次吧，你知道你知道我别人不可再用你们的天真现在变成 The living just
Night in, check, 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 money order, check, cash, check. All right. Praise God. Aren't you half glad to be in the house of God tonight, today, anytime, praise God. Don't forget afterwards, if you don't want to go too far out to get you something to eat, come on over, we're going to have spaghetti. Over next door, praise God, $5 a plate, or they got rid of a special 2 for $10 or 3 for $15. And the best deal is 5 for $25. God's awesome. All the time. We're going to talk about attitude today. How many here have a good attitude? How many in here have a bad attitude? How many in here are sitting beside the reason? Do not raise your hands. We talked about it Thursday night. It can go either way. I decided to go ahead and break bad. I had some guys ask me not to look at them, so I'm going to look down. If you got a bad attitude, then your marriage is going to have 3 rings. If you got a bad attitude, and that is the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and supper ring. I looked down. I didn't look at anybody. Amen. Matter of fact, ladies, nobody asked me to do that, and I'm not sure where Linda's at, so I felt free to say that this time. Can you please edit that out of the YouTube? Oh, you're not? Okay. We're talking about attitude. Get your Bibles out. Turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. This is part 1. I was on the way to church this morning, and I felt the Lord speak to me. I didn't feel comfortable in my spirit and about the length of this sermon, and the Lord spoke to me just as plain and said, shorten it. So we got two parts here. It's so good to see Sister Dorothy back with us. Amen. Amen. Sister Dorothy, you're awesome. You're awesome. Yeah, that's right. God's awesome, isn't he? All right. We're talking about today your attitude, and everybody's heard this 1,000 times. Your attitude determines your altitude, or how you see things determines how high you're going to go in this life with your family, with your friends, with your work. You can name it. Just name whatever you're in and know that your attitude can help you, it can make you, or it can break you. Amen? And you know what? I can deal when I was at Procter & Gamble, when I was at Fountain Power Boats, I could deal all day long with people that did not necessarily know how or the instructions of their work, and I did not mind training them. That's not a problem. But the hard thing is to work with somebody, not necessarily not knowing their work, but working with somebody with a bad attitude. Amen. A bad attitude is really an awesome, awful, not awesome, awful, awful thing. So here we go. Philippians chapter 4. Y'all stand for the reading of God's word. I know you're losing weight in here. Did you know that? We're actually helping you lose weight. Matter of fact, before we get through, we're going to have a seventh inning stretch. Y'all going to stand up and do jumping jacks. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Or I want you to get happy in the Lord. I want you to get lighthearted. I want you to let the Lord know you love him. And just in case you didn't get it the first time, I'm going to tell you again, rejoice. Amen? Some of y'all in here, you ought to go ahead and rejoice right now. Go ahead. Amen. It might be the first time you've done it this week. Go ahead, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Are you happy? Amen. Then let your face know it. Amen. God is awesome. Amen. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, or not fret about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I'm just going to throw in verse number 8, just for good measure. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Right now, I want you to raise your hands. And first, I want you to say this, Lord, help me to overcome any stinking thinking I have going on in my mind this day. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your word. I thank you for its power. I thank you for the anointing, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are here this day in a very powerful way. And Lord, I ask you, God, to help us, Lord, to look, Lord, and to understand what you've got in store for us, Lord. And it is such an awesome thing, and to know that circumstances itself cannot stop what you have for us. And Lord, that we're not even powerful enough, Lord, to stop what you have for us, Lord, in the long run. We can cause a lot of detours, and we can cause some hard things to happen to us, God. But we know, Lord, that you want to use us, and I thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, give somebody a high five, low five, no five. Amen. You be seated. There was this man trying to, there was this guy in the army. He was a paratrooper, and he had a very, very, very bad attitude. And he was a paratrooper. It's not good to be, it's hard to put paratrooper and bad attitude side by side. So he's up there, and the instructor says, you got to remember four things only, and you'll be fine. He said, yeah, right. He said, first, when I tell you to jump, jump. Then I want you to, number two, I want you to count to 10. Put your right hand over your left side, and I want you to pull your rip cord. Now, if it doesn't open, I want you to count to 3 and put your left hand over your right hand and pull your emergency chute. And then when you get to the ground, there's going to be a truck waiting to carry you back to camp. So he gets up and he's in the plane. He says, that man don't know what he's talking about. I'm not sure if this is going to work, blah, 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 blah. So the man says, jump. He goes, okay, jump. He says, now I'm supposed to count to 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right hand, left side. Pull that cord. He pulled that cord and nothing happened. He said, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. And so then he said, 1, 2, 3. He put his right hand or his left hand over his right side. He pulled his emergency cord. Nothing happened. And he said, uh-huh. He said, I bet there ain't no truck down there waiting to carry me back to camp either. Yeah. Like this one woman had a bad attitude. The guys didn't want to even get close to her. She had such a bad attitude. So all her life she was never married, never dated. And when she died, her last request was, I don't want any male pallbearers. She said, they wouldn't carry me out when I'm living. I don't want them to carry me out when I'm dead. Amen. God's awesome. The power of attitude. Nothing can stop a person with the right attitude. Amen? There's no situation, there's nothing that can stop a person with the right attitude. Look at that picture. There's a picture of a cat, thinks it's a lion. Amen. Isn't that cool? Amen. But on the other hand, nothing can help a person with the wrong attitude. Matter of fact, an attitude is like a flat tire. You're not going very far until you change it. Amen? Some of us in here, have we got any flat tires in our life? Have we got any flat tires in certain areas of our life? God wants to change the flat tires. He wants us to change the flat tires in our life. Amen? Attitude, here it goes. This is a pretty little thing here. Attitude is the eye of the soul. It determines how you view life. Attitude is the face of your life. Your attitude determines how you appear to others. Your attitude is the ear of your mind. Your attitude determines how you understand your world and your work around you. Your attitude is the voice of your heart. Your attitude will determine how you relate to others that are around you. And finally, your attitude is the prophet of your future. Your attitude, more than anything, more than aptitude, your attitude will determine your destiny. And it will also determine just how high you fly. God knew this. God understood this. And so he's using Paul to explain to the people in the Philippines. In the Philippian church, not the Philippines. They need to hear it too. In the Philippian church, he's explaining to them the power and the awesomeness of their attitude. Matter of fact, let y'all look at this picture. Does anybody in here need an attitude check? Matter of fact, let me ask you another question. Has anybody in here your attitude check bounced? Yeah, amen, amen. Need an attitude check. Yeah, you come here, I'll show you an attitude. Amen. Okay, so now Paul, this man's got the right attitude. He's writing to the Philippian church, and he's writing from prison in Rome. Matter of fact, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, I want to tell you something now. You may not have known this, but Paul was waiting to have his head removed from his body. He was waiting to die. And so here's Paul. He's hearing people come and get out and taken from their cell, screaming as they carry them to torture them and screaming them as they carry them to kill them. Paul, knowing that at any time they can come and get him, and it's... Knowing this, he takes time out to write a letter. And as he takes time out to write this letter, he says, y'all pray for me because I'm getting ready to die. Poor old pitiful me, I've preached the gospel to all these people and look how they're treating me. No. What did he say? He knows that any time he can die, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let me ask you a question. If you knew you were going to die today, would you be rejoicing in the Lord? Matter of fact, let me ask you another question. If you knew you were going to die today, and you knew there were some people that you really wanted to tell them some things, let me give you a challenge. Why don't you just tell them anyway? Whew. If there's somebody you know that you really need to talk to and tell them you're sorry, or somebody you know you need to call and tell them they're sorry. Excuse me. I was playing. If there's somebody you know you need to call and tell them you're sorry, or there's somebody you know you need to call and tell them you love them, or there's somebody you know that you need to call them and say, I really appreciate what you've done in my life, guess what? You may not be dying today, but go ahead and try it. I guarantee you'll feel better. It will help you on your attitude check. Your attitude check might not bounce. Amen. So your attitude determines your attitude, how high you fly. God wants us to soar like the eagles, not strut like the turkeys. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Soar like the eagles, not strut like the turkeys. Amen. An attitude is a mental disposition or an outlook. It's a way that you look at yourself, others, your world around you. They actually, psychologists, this is no joke, psychologists took a room. They took a pessimist child and took an optimist child. This is not a joke. This is the real thing. They took it and they filled the little stable full of straw and manure. They put the pessimist child in there and they said, you think I'm going to get in there? There's nothing in there but stinking straw. I'm not going in there. Get me out of here. Then they took the optimist child, he run in and just started digging through the straw, throwing it all up in the air, manure everywhere. And they said, what are you doing? He said, I sell this manure and straw. There's got to be a pony in here somewhere. How you see your world. It's how your world sees you. Remember the 12 spies. The 12 spies, Numbers 13 and 11 and 13, said, we were grasshoppers in our own eyes first, and we were grasshoppers in their eyes. How you see yourself determines how other people see you. I remember when I was in high school, I used to hang out with the girl that had a deformed hand. Do you know, I'm pretty good at picking up things. I was friends with this girl for 3, 4, 5 years, even dated her, and never knew she had a deformed hand. Wow. It was after our second date I realized something was wrong. I couldn't hold that hand. Why couldn't I hold that hand? Because it was deformed. But you would have never known it because she never let it stop her. She never even let it get in the way. You never even thought about it. I knew the girl for years. Never even knew she had a bad hand. Because she had such a wonderful attitude. People loved to be around her. So instead of first going, well, nobody's going to like me because I got a bad hand. Instead, she just went out all the way all the time. And like I said, many people didn't know this girl had a bad hand. Isn't that something? Some of y'all in here have a bad hand. Maybe not physically. But you got a bad hand and you're letting it stop you. When you should just say, praise God, thank you that I have what I do have, and thank you, God, that I can move forward in you and trust you. So, a mental disposition outlook, your attitude, it can be defined as a mental, emotional, physical posture that means that your life is being lived from the inside out. You can tell just as good if you squeeze oranges, what comes out. If you squeeze an apple, what comes out. Guess what? Some of y'all are trying to get sweet juice, but you're squeezing a persimmon. Okay. Then when they're not ripe, how about that? Thank you, Eddie. We had to have a horticulturist here today. Pay no attention to the man behind the camera. All right. So now, our level of joy is based more on what is going on within us than what's going on without us. Think about it. I've seen some people go through some pretty rough things, and they had a good time. They were really going around good. The Lord was blessing them. See, joy is the basis of a good attitude. You take joy away, and your attitude is going to stink. If you find out in your life that you pull away from joyful things and joyful things, that your life is going to wind up being, look, you're going to wind up having some stinking thinking. You're going to be like the little boy, the pessimist that goes in and sees the straw in the manure and goes, I ain't getting in that. I want to be like the little optimist that jumps and hollers, there's a pony in here somewhere. God's got something going on for us. So look, joy is unconquerable. It overcomes adversity, disappointment, tragedy, failure. Even when you have harshness in your life, and when things are not going the way you want them to go, when things are going right the opposite of the way you expect, when things actually, when life is beating you, here's your chance to beat back. The Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be weary, and run and shall not faint. I like what that mount up with wings as eagles. You know what an eagle does? Every other bird has to flap its wings to take off. Most birds have to run and flap their wings. Then you got turkeys and stuff, the domestic turkeys that run and flap their wings and do nothing. But you know what the eagle does? The eagle gets up on the cleft of the rock and it mounts up with that 10-foot wingspan. And it just waits. And it waits for the breeze. And when the breeze comes, it leans into the breeze as the breeze picks it up. And then it just soars. It never even flaps its wings. And it soars and it soars and it soars. And it doesn't get tired because it's not doing like that. It's just soaring. You know how you can tell when it's bad weather? Of course, if you look out and see the clouds, that's one indication. Rain coming is a good indication too, but there's a catfish farm or some kind of fish farm out there by my house, several of them. And there's some bald eagles out there. And I love to sit down and watch them. And one day, Lynn and I were coming from church, and I wish I'd had my camera because there was two bald eagles fighting over a fish in midair. It was like they were suspended. They were twirling in the air. And then we pulled over on the side. They're twirling. And before I get my camera, they took off, and one took off with half a fish, and the other one dropped his half of the fish and flew off. But I said, check out these awesome birds. When you come by and there's bad weather, all the other birds are hid. They're trying to find shelter. But the eagle flies up and above the storm. And so while the storm's going on, you see the eagle still soaring, soaring, soaring. Some of us right now, you know what? You're in the middle of a storm and you're flapping and you can't find any relief and you're about wore out. And if you only understand, if you just get up higher, 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 you'll get above that storm and you can soar instead of flap those wings. Man, that's where God wants you. We need to just mount up with wings like eagles and let the Spirit pick us up. When the Spirit picks us up, He'll take you through life and things that used to tear you all to pieces, you'll say, piece of cake. Why? Because now I'm soaring. I'm not flapping. I'm soaring. Amen? You see, joy is the promise of God to His people. Everybody in this place today, there's a promise from God that you've got. If you're His child, He promises peace. You say, well, I'm not having it right now. Well, you know what? That doesn't change the fact that God promised peace to every last one of us. It's a promise. And if it's a promise, and if I'm not receiving it, then obviously it's not God's fault. Y'all look, I'm trying to say it ain't God's fault. That might have been proper English, but it sounds good. Ain't God's fault. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, when we turn our trials over to God, when we live in confidence that He is able. Wow, it's amazing what God can do. You see, when you have this kind of joy, you'll know by experience, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know what? I've got that joy. I've got it. Every now and then that joy tries to pop out, but you know what? I still got it. Every now and again that joy tries to run away, but I still got it. Now, let me just tell you a little something. Listen. I got that joy, and because I got that joy, I'm going to praise Him. You going to praise Him? You want to praise Him? Here, I'm going to give you, you say, well, I've got no reason to praise Him. I'm going to give you a few reasons to praise Him. It's all in the PowerPoint, but get ready. Because He's almighty, because He has blessed you, because He cares for you, because He delivered you, because He erased the penalty of sin that was against you, He forgave you, He gave you eternal life, He heard your cry, He justified you, He kept you, He loves you, He gave you His mercy, He never leaves you, He opens doors for you, He paid the price for you, He redeemed you, He saved you, He sanctified you, He took your place at Calvary, He has an undying love for you, He gave you victory. If you can't think of a reason to praise Him, you need to praise Him now. Praise God. Glory. Yes, amen. So, hey, let me talk a little bit about attitudes again. Let's get back over to attitude. This is part one. Part two is next week. Attitudes can be realistic or unrealistic. They can be positive or negative, productive or unproductive. Did you know that? There's people, look. A lot of times the whole situation changes for me when I change my attitude. Wow. It's amazing. Nothing in front of me has changed at all, but because I changed my attitude, I see everything different. Wow. You know, we were at Pitt Detention Center, and I was talking to a guy, and the guy was talking to me, and I was actually talking to this guy through a glass. He's over in behavioral management talking to the glass, and I can't remember exactly what I was thinking, but actually my mind kind of got all out of kilter, and about that time I saw the reflection in the glass, and two guards came behind me. And they did like this. And the door opened. And all of a sudden I had this greatest feeling that I was going to get pushed in and the door was going to get shut. And my attitude changed. Immediately. Just like that. I got focused all over again. I got the joy of the Lord when I realized. I tried and said, what are y'all doing? They said, we're taking this guy out. I said, I thought you were pushing me in. They said, nah, we'd have been a little bit more forceful if we were going to push you in. You see, attitudes. Some of us have unrealistic attitudes, which leads to unrealistic expectations, which again leads to negative ideas and negative how we see other people, and it also makes us become unproductive. When you have that negative attitude, somebody could have hurt your feelings, hurt you, and they're trying to make up to you. We talked about it Tuesday night. They can try to make up to you. They do everything in their power to make it better, and you will not let them. You hold them hostage. And the reason you're holding them hostage, listen carefully. Don't get mad. If you get mad, next week you can get glad because part two. Okay. Sometimes we hold others hostage because we ourselves are held hostage by our attitude. We're expecting them to do all the changing, them to do everything right. They got to get it all, bop, 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 bop. Not realizing that the problem is not what they did, it's our attitude toward it, and we're holding them hostage because we're held hostage by our attitude. Oh, God, help us. Help us, God. In Philippians, Paul continually underscored the need for spiritual attitude if we're to keep our joy. It's so easy to get caught up in this negative in this world. You turn on the news, and there's 30 minutes of news, and 28 minutes of it's bad, bad, bad. And at the end, they'll pop up some little story to make you feel good. Well, you know what? That's not even psychologically correct. Because honestly, psychologically, it takes 7 to 10 positives to overcome one negative. So if I've had 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 negatives for 28 minutes, they're going to give me one positive at the end. I'm going to walk around smiling? Give me 28 positives, then give me that negative and watch it get eat up. So here we go. Let's get ready. We're almost through. Somebody say, praise God. Amen. It's only 12 o'clock. We normally got here at 3 for y'all that's never been. I'm just checking your attitudes. Amen. Amen. Making sure it's not going to bounce. Amen. Paul shares three aspects of real joy that actually will help your attitude. It'll help you soar. It'll help you stand up. It'll help you be resilient. It'll help you when nothing else is helping. Matter of fact, again, it'll help you look for that pony in that straw and manure. It'll help you not be like that man with the parachute. It'll help you not to be like that woman saying, I don't want any men carrying me to my grave. Ready? This is where we're going to stop with joy. I didn't say we're going to stop on this slide, but we're going to stop with joy upward. Joy is an upward attitude. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Quickly, 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 quickly. Watch this. This is so awesome. We must learn to rejoice. There's so many people that spend their life walking around with their head hanging down. They're never looking for anything good. They're always expecting something bad. And you hear them say this, well, if I don't ever expect anything good, then I won't be disappointed when nothing good happens. Huh? What rock did you find that written on? I'm not going to expect anything good. That way, when nothing good happens, I won't be disappointed. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I get up every morning expecting something good. Because I get up on my feet, hit the ground, I'll say, this morning I said it, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I come to church to have a good time in the Lord. I didn't come to hold my head down. I come to lift my hands up and praise God. Come on! God wants us to get our expectors in the right position. Amen? It's like a metal detector. Ain't got any batteries in it. How much you going to find? Out there combing the beach with your metal detector. Ain't got any batteries in it. Unless you happen to trip over it, you ain't going to find anything. The same way, we got to put our batteries in. We got to let God fire us up through the power of the Holy Spirit. We must rejoice. That word rejoice means to be full of cheer. Calmly, listen to this, calmly happy. Not, oh, what's going to happen next? 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 It means to be well off. It means to actually lighten up. So we must rejoice, but we rejoice in the Lord, not in things, not in circumstances. Listen, there's things in my life. Even this morning, some of the text messages I got this morning, I looked at them and I'm going, oh no, not again. Because I'm dealing with people and trying to help them and I'm going, not now, no, 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 no. And right to start with, I was going, ugh. And the Lord spoke to me and said, what are you talking about this morning? I said, thank you, Lord. Get your head back in the game. Rejoice in the Lord. Didn't say in things in the Lord because joy comes from knowing the real joy giver, which is God. And rejoice in the Lord always. It's easy to rejoice in here when we're praying. It's easy to rejoice in here when we're praying. It's easy to rejoice when you got all your people in here and we're all raising our hands and praising God. What about when you get outside? What about when you go to work tomorrow? What about if you have to go to work tonight? What about if you jump out of here and you run into somebody or something, all of a sudden everything turns sour? Rejoice in the Lord always, all the time, in all things, through the good, through the bad. Rejoice in the Lord, and again, I say, rejoice. Watch this, I love this. Here's some scriptures for you. In the face of depression, joy says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. in suffering. The Bible says that Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. In fear, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In impossibilities, joy says, with God all things are possible. In failure, joy says, though I have fallen, I will arise. Micah 7:8. Financial loss, joy says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. In death, joy says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? In unanswered prayer, joy says, his grace is sufficient for you. In inadequacy, joy says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In challenges, joy says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Have you got joy? If you got joy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put up those antennas right now, and I want you to reach that hand up, and I want you to let the Lord know that you love him. If I put your hands together and let the Lord know that you love him, and you thank him for the joy, the joy, the joy. Weeping and joy for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah. God is awesome. All the time. God is awesome. Right now, we're going to stop. We're just going to stop. Oh, you're going to go, oop, wait a minute. We stopped too fast. No, we didn't. We stopped right where we need to stop. I was riding down the road this morning. The Lord said, no, I'm not kidding. He said, stop right there. I said, okay, Lord, we'll stop right here. Come on up here, musicians. Some of us in here right now need an attitude transplant. Not that you got a bad attitude, but it's not the proper attitude for your circumstance. God wants you to have the right attitude that'll meet the challenge of your problem. You say, well, you just don't know what I'm going through. The man who wrote this was getting ready to die. I mean, at any time, they would go in his cell and pull him out, lay his head on a chopping block, and any time. And instead of complaining, he spent that time telling people to be excited. God wants to do something so great for us if we'll just listen to him. There was this woman walking around the street one day. As she's walking down the street, she heard this voice said, stop! You're getting ready to die! So she stops, and about that time, a package falls from a out of a brace in a window and lands right in front of her. She went, whoa. So she moves around. She starts to cross the street and she hears another one go, stop! You're going to get run over. And as she's getting ready to put her foot on the curb, she looks and she's a car out of control coming down. She said, wow, I could have died twice today. And she reached up and said, where's this voice coming from? And the voice says, I'm your guardian angel. I've been sent to protect you. And she said, well, guardian angel, where were you on my wedding day? Stop! God wants to talk to you today. He wants to direct you. But you got to put those antennas up. And those antennas come when we have joy. Amen. Let's all stand. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask a few questions, then we're going to call everybody up to pray. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, while nobody's looking around, would you slip that hand up and say, Pastor, I don't know him and I want to before I leave this place today. And I'm talking to you, would you raise that hand and say, pray for me? Nobody's looking. If you're here this day and you could say, Lord, I sure wish I could do it over again. God, I've blown it. I've walked away from you. I wish I could do it over again. Today is your day because you can do it over again in God. If I'm speaking to you right now and you say, I wish I could have a do-over. God, I want to get back close to you like I used to be. With nobody looking around, Would you slip that hand up? And we're going to pray for you right now. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Let them draw closer to you. And you said in your word a promise, if we'll draw closer to you, you'll draw back to us. Maybe here this morning, you just need an attitude transplant. Your attitude check is bounced and you're needing God to help you. If I'm speaking to you right now, you're needing God to work on it, to help you work on it, to get that joy back. When nobody's looking around, would you put their hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need God to help me. Touch them, Lord. I need God to help me. Touch them, Lord. Now, the altars are open. They're open. You say, well, I got to go somewhere and get something to eat. We got it right across the street. It'll save you time and effort. You can pray longer because you ain't got to go anywhere. It's across the street. Everybody that will, come on up here and pray. Everybody that will, no matter what your problem is, or you just want to praise God and thank Him. If you need an attitude transplant, you just need God to touch your body, whatever it is. Won't you come? Won't you come? Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. God's got this. God's got it. God's got it. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you right now, Lord. I thank you for courage. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, Lord. I thank you, God. Glory, 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 glory. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Lord, we're helpless without you, God, but with you we can do all things. We can do all things. We can do all things. We're more than enough through the power and the anointing of the Holy One. Thank you, Lord. Glory! Glory!